If you'll please join me in the call to worship, it is printed on an insert in your bulletin. I will read the light print, and you guys can all read the dark print. You are Lord. We have no good apart from you. Though life is broken in bits and pieces, you are our peace and our portion. Let us bless the Lord, who walks with us as we wander.
Let us praise the Lord, who whispers a lullaby when the nights are long.
Follow God faithfully, no matter the chaos. God alone shows us the path of life. God is our resurrection and our renewal. Amen. And now we will join with the praise and worship in a song.
And if you would please stand.
It's time for the reign of God. It's time for your light to shine. It's time for the kingdom of our God to be revealed. It's time for authority. It's time for your majesty. It's time for the kingdom of our God to be revealed. In these days of wars and famine, in these days of hearts grow cold, in these days of growing darkness, there's a story to be told. So we gather in the Spirit, we lift up a prayer of faith, we proclaim the mighty word of God, let the power in your name. It's time for the reign of God, it's time for your light to shine. It's time for the kingdom of our God to be revealed. It's time for authority. It's time for your majesty. It's time for the kingdom of our God to be revealed. For the captives of rebellion are addicted and deceived. For those who wander far from home, it's time to intercede. So we gather in the Spirit, we lift up a prayer of faith, we proclaim the mighty word of God, the power in your name. It's time for the reign of God, it's time for your light to shine, it's time for the kingdom of our God to be revealed. It's time for authority. It's time for your majesty. It's time for the kingdom of our God to be revealed. It's time.
Good morning. Are there any guests with us today who would like to be introduced? Seeing nobody, welcome to everyone who is here. And we will now join again in another song with the praise and worship group, Cry of My Heart.
It is the cry of my heart to follow you. It is the cry of my heart to be close to you. It is the cry of my heart to follow all of the days of my life. Teach me your holy ways, O Lord, so I can walk in your truth. Teach me your holy ways, O Lord. devoted to you. It is the cry of my heart to follow you. It is the cry of my heart to be close to you. It is the cry of my heart to follow all of the days of my life. Open my eyes so I can see the wonderful things that you do. Open my heart up more and more and make me wholly devoted to you. It is the cry of my heart to follow you. It is the cry of my heart to be close to you. It is the cry of my heart to follow all of the days of my life. All of the days of my life. All of the days of my life.
I would like to highlight a few of the announcements in the bulletin today. Firstly, number 7, the chat and play group will not be meeting this coming Wednesday, the 26th, but the group will continue to meet normally after that, and of course any parents of small children are welcome. I'd also like to point out number 9, that on June 4th, we're going to be having a show and shine here at church. The Family Ministry Committee is sponsoring a car show on our parking lot. There'll be a barbecue beginning at 1. If you have car or motorcycle that you'd like to enter, please contact Gary Hebert, Don Ermelard, Phil Colosimo, or Gary Martins. And number 10, we plan to have a child dedication service on Father's Day, June 18th. So anyone who is interested in participating, please contact Reverend Weeb, and his numbers are in the bulletin. And then I'd like to move on to a time of sharing. First, I'll highlight a few things that are in the bulletin for that. Please keep Tegan McDonald Funk, born April 11th, 2017, and the entire family in your prayers. Tegan underwent emergency surgery on the 12th to repair some bleeding on the brain. More tests are being done, but she is recovering. Number 2, Frieda Schultz has requested our prayer support for the family as her daughter, Karen Brewer, is in Health Sciences Center and has had a bone marrow transplant to treat her cancer. Visitors are not currently allowed. Number 3, Hildegard Knopf underwent a successful surgery on Easter Sunday of a bypass to repair a bowel obstruction. She's been transferred up to the surgery ward on 7A at 7A South at St. Boniface and is doing well with her recovery, and visitors are welcome there. And then a note here. Today, April 23rd, is the start of our trip to Philadelphia. We are most grateful to our NKMC family for the amazing support we've received through word and deed, visits, meals, Quebecness, cards and phone calls, financial support, and powerful prayers. Thank you again for your generosity. With warm regards, Judith Gunther and Tracy LeClaire. Number 5, I'd like to thank all my church family for prayers, flowers, cards, food, phone call, words of encouragement, and well wishes. Your support has meant more than you can know. My pathology came back, and no cancer has been found, so I'm cancer-free. Praise and thanksgiving be to God for good health and for my church family, from Adina Redekop. And then number 6, thank you again for all your prayers during my recent surgery and ongoing recovery. Prayers have been answered, and my doctor has given me great news. The cancer in my colon has not spread, and I will not require treatments, only many follow-ups in the years ahead. Lainey Ham-Lussier. Is there anyone else who has anything they'd like to share today? Seeing no hands, we will now move on to the children's story. So if any of the children would like to come up to the front, Mrs. White has a story for you.
Hi. Good morning. How are you all today? That's good. Today, the grown-ups in church are going to pretend that the whole last week didn't happen. Yeah. Because the story is going to pick up just after Mary discovered the empty tomb on Easter Sunday, and she goes to tell her friends that Jesus is risen. And the next part of the story is all of Jesus' disciples are in a locked room. And Jesus comes to see them. Now, one of the reasons Jesus comes is because, how do you think those disciples are feeling? They don't really know. Mary's just told them Jesus is risen. And how would you feel? You've just seen someone you love very much die a horrible death. Would you be feeling pretty happy? No, how would you be feeling? A little bit scared? A little bit scared? That's what was happening. That's why they were in locked rooms, because they were scared. They were scared now that they might possibly die, and they weren't sure what was going on. Sorry, Samuel. Yeah, Jesus wasn't having supper then. He was going up to heaven to see God. And when he came back down, he came white to see his friends. And what we're going to talk about today is what we do when we're feeling scared. What do we do when we're scared? Do you like to go somewhere all by yourself in a dark room? Is that what you do? Nobody's nodding. Is that what you do? What do you do when you're scared? Do you like to go to your mom? Get a hug? Yeah. How about dad? Is he a good place to go when you're scared? Okay, I'm going to show you something. You've seen this before. This is what I used to do when I was little and I was scared. Do we remember her? Yeah, she's drowsy. I would go and find my doll and I would give her a hug. And if at nighttime it was dark and nobody was in the house, I would give her a hug. So, the story today that the grown-ups are going to be hearing is that Jesus came and showed himself to his friends so that they could stop being scared. So once you see something, is it easier to believe in? Yeah. So Jesus knew his friends were just people. Are we just people too? Do we sometimes need to see something so that we can believe it? So, you know, even when I was little, I knew my mom and dad were keeping me safe. But I still like to hold on to my doll because she was right there. I could hold her and know I was safe. And Jesus does that for us. He comes and shows us that he's here. Our bulletin this morning is full of signs that Jesus is here. We've had two people that had cancer scares, and they're both doing well. In my own family, I have a family member that's feeling much better now. So that's why we have a nice big group, so we can see what's going on. All right, can we bow for prayer? Jesus, thank you that you came and showed us that we have nothing to fear. Amen. You can go to Sunday school and practice for Family Sunday.
This song is about 10,000 reasons, or it's called 10,000 Reasons, and it's 10,000 reasons for us to be thankful for everything that God provides to us, and especially since last week we are thankful that he gave us his son who died on the cross for us.
The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, worship his holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I'll worship your holy name. You're rich in love and you're slow to anger. Your name is great and your heart is kind. For all your goodness I will keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart to find. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, worship his holy name.
my strength is failing. The end draws near and my time has come. Still my soul will sing your praise unending. 10,000 years and then forevermore. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul. I'll worship Your holy name. Lord, I'll worship Your holy name. Sing like never.
Please join me now in a time of prayer. Risen Christ, our eternal Savior, like the disciples, we are gathered together the week after Easter, wondering whether it is true, marveling at the possibility, and daring to hope. Like the disciples, we are sometimes afraid, sometimes full of doubt. But in your extravagant generosity, in your boundless love, you appear to us in our fear and love us in our doubts. You grant us the oceans of your peace. Thank you for loving us as we are. Teach us not to hide from our doubt, but to recognize it as a door to mystery and to deeper faith. After all, the disciples' fear became a visitation as they saw you among them, risen and triumphant. Thomas's doubt became a moment of revelation as he saw and touched you and finally believed. This morning we pray for the many men and women in our society who have no faith at all. There are so many who live without hope, without knowledge of your resurrection, without your light in their lives. Grant us the courage to live as witnesses to your resurrection. Risen Christ, be the light in our world. We pray for those in our congregation this morning who find it difficult to believe. Lord knows that they are not alone, but in the best of company. Even Christ's own disciples struggled to believe all that they had seen and heard. Loving Christ, it is in your presence that removes all fear and erases all doubt. So come and grant the doubting Thomases in our midst of your presence and of your peace. And grant to all of us, Christ, renewed faith, great courage, and your boundless peace. Amen. We will now take the offering as the praise and worship song leads us in once again.
Jesus Christ, I think upon your sacrifice, you became nothing, poured out to death many times. Again, I'm in that place once again, and once again I look upon the cross where you died. I'm humbled by your mercy and I'm broken.
saving grace, I'm full of praise once again. I'm full of praise once again. And once again I look upon the cross where you died. I'm humbled by your mercy and I'm broken inside. Once again I thank you. Once again I pour out my life. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross, my friend. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross, my friend. And once again I look upon the cross where you died. I'm humbled by your mercy and I'm broken inside. Once again I thank you. Once again I pour out my life. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross, my friend. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross, my friend.
Today's scripture reading comes from John chapter 20. Verses 19 to 31. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them, and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. And if you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now Thomas, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, and put my finger where the nails were, and put my hand in his side, I will not believe it." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them, and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here, see my hands, reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name.
Somewhat strange when you think about the situation, isn't it? On Easter, there's a direct continuation of the text from last week. There we covered the morning. This is the Easter evening, and then the second part comes to the Sunday after Easter, which would be like today. The disciples spend that Easter evening behind locked doors. Now, I would have expected them to rejoice. I would have expected them to go out and find friends and celebrate, have a party. because Peter and another disciple have seen the empty tomb. Mary Magdalene has spoken to the risen Christ, and she has told the disciples all about it. You'd think they would be off celebrating, wouldn't you? Indeed, they do not. They hide away. They act like people whose leader is dead, people who are afraid. Well, maybe it's not so surprising, because one of the strongest urges that a human being has is survival instinct, right? Anything goes before that one. Protecting themselves makes perfect sense. It was only a couple of days before they were traumatized by the death of Jesus. They know that he was apprehended and executed, so they may be next. And thus they wait behind locked doors, as quiet as they can be, fearing every footstep in the street below. And a number of them will die later on. And that room contains some of the early first Christian martyrs. Whether or not their attitude is justified, it is apparent that fear dominates their life. And that puts them in the company of many of us, right? Those people dominated by fear included many of the people we see around us every day, and perhaps even some of us here this morning. These disciples have plenty of company on the evening of that first Easter day when they keep inside locked doors. It is to this fearful group, to his fearful disciples, that the risen Christ chooses to appear. He had passed from life to death to a life greater than we can imagine. And you might well ask yourself, why does he appear to them? Wouldn't you have expected Jesus to come and scold his disciples? Remember what they did just 2 days earlier? They all ran away. After all, they had deserted him. As he hung for hours on the cross, most of them were nowhere to be found. And he might have wanted to sit him down and give him a good talking to and telling them, are you stupid or something? Haven't you ever grasped what I taught you all those 3 years? Have you never seen what happened? That would have been sort of to our liking, wouldn't it? I mean, set him right. You ever feel like somebody really behaves contrary to what you would think they should be behaving? Feel like, you know, the Germans have this expression, washing their head in Kopfwaschen? That means you really set them straight. But nothing of the sort happens. He comes back, not concerned for himself, but for them. He senses their profound fear. So he begins with the peace greeting. He shows them his wounds, still apparent. Their fear dissolves finally, and they rejoice to see him alive. Then he gives them his peace again, and he gives them a mission. You know, I've always marveled how the Bible combines those two things. You receive a gift from God, but it always, always also contains a call to act. In German, they call it Gabe und Aufgabe, you know. You receive a gift, but you also receive a task. when God forgives us, when God accepts us, when we believe that God loves us, there's an obligation in that for us, isn't there? It doesn't even have to be said. He gives them his peace, and then he gives them their mission. He breathes his Holy Spirit on them, it says here, and tells them and go and forgives the sin of the people. It's amazing. It's like a second creation. It's like an early Pentecost, a commissioning for them of ministry. And that is not just the commissions for preachers or caregivers in the congregation. It's for everyone. Because everybody's business is to be forgiveness, the reconciliation of humanity with God and with each other. The prototype of their work is to be the forgiveness he has given them. From this upstairs room, forgiveness is to spread like a wildfire. Set free from fear, they are able to set others free. Easter Sunday was a remarkable day, wasn't it? Because it's remarkable that death could not hold Jesus. But I find it is just as remarkable that fear could not hold his disciples. And what is in it for us? The promise of our own resurrection at the end of time and the reality of reconciliation with God and other people here and now. Like the first disciples, we experience Jesus risen from the dead, freeing us from fear of death that will come at life's end, and freeing us from all the other deathly fears that blight our lives daily. And what are those fears that you experience? Each one of us has experienced fear at one time or another, right? Some more, some less. But we all know about it. From little children on, that hide under the covers and hug their dolls and do whatever needs to be done in order to overcome that fear that's rooted deeply within us. But like the disciples, we experience Jesus risen from the dead, freeing us from fear of death and all the other fears in our life. We might fear what we see in the headlines, in the news. We might fear illnesses for which no cure is known. We might fear a faltering economy. Because how will we pay our mortgages? And how will we get through if there are layoffs? We might fear wars and rumors of wars. They're going on and have been going on almost every day of our lives. Other fears are more personal, more private. Perhaps a bad medical report. Perhaps a broken marriage. Perhaps you have discovered that things are going wrong with your children. Perhaps you are seeing your parents deteriorate to the point where they are totally dependent on you. And you fear what that means for them and for you. We feel fear when there is no money to pay the mortgage, when our children's report cards are a disaster, or when we come home and find our homes broken into and everything feels desecrated, not the home where we feel safe. We are afraid. We are afraid of the unknown and of the known. When fears flare up in our hearts, it's easy to forget God. But it's precisely the time to remember God. The disciples forgot for a while, there in that upstairs room. We may also forget sometimes. But the beauty is, Christ does not forget us. He comes to us with vivid reminders on his feet and hands and side that death, the source of so much fear, has been conquered. The disciples rejoiced that day when they saw the Lord, and we too can rejoice when in the midst of fears we may recognize that Christ is with us in those fears. I once heard a comment from somebody reporting a Jewish man in the concentration camp of Auschwitz said, "Certainly God is not here." And his friend answered him, "He is here, precisely here. Because when there is suffering and death, God is with us." Yes, when we recognize that, then we recognize that Christ is with us in our fears. It is not fear that simply swept away. No, fear will remain with you. Some people think now if you have faith, everything should be hunky-dory. Everything should be just fine, right? I've heard people say, if you had faith, you would be healthy. If you had faith, you would be happy. Come on. We can rejoice when in the midst of our fears, we recognize Christ is with us. The fears will still be there, but they will not dominate us. The locked doors can be opened. There is one who has shown himself more powerful as our fears, and we acknowledge him as Lord, and therefore fears do not dominate our lives. They will be there, but they will not determine what our life will be like. The resurrection story that concludes the four Gospels is a bit of a scramble, testifying to how people come to faith in different ways. It says that the beloved disciple believes when he sees the empty tomb, but it is not clear what he believes. You ever feel like that? You believe, but you don't know quite what. Mary Magdalene believes when the Lord speaks to her, when he calls her name, even though, according to Mark's gospel, her report is not believed. It's not accepted. The disciples believe for themselves once Jesus appears alive among them and proves to them that he is alive. People come to faith in different ways. They did then. And they do today. And then there's another example. We come now to the Sunday after Easter. Thomas. Oh, this poor Thomas. He's gone into history as the unbelieving Thomas or the doubting Thomas. And just a little personal story. When we expected our first child, we were looking for names and son, you know. Mentioned Thomas, and you should have seen my sister flip out. You wouldn't do that to your child, would you? The ungläubige Thomas. No. Thomas is seen as the epitome of unbelief, of doubt. Yet I see in Thomas modern man. Aren't we just like him? Don't you want to see proof? We are all Thomases, one time or another. And what distinguishes Thomas from the other disciples? They didn't believe what they were told either. He first had to come and show himself, right? So they were no different, really. And nobody blames them. Thomas was a man that wasn't very subtle. He was the one who said, let us go also, when Jesus said, let's go to Jerusalem before Easter, you know, before the suffering and death. He said, okay, that's dangerous, so let us go also that we may die with him. That's the Thomas. Straight up. Direct. And then he hears from others that Jesus is back again, and he makes his outrageous demand. He refuses to believe just on the say-so, unless he can convince himself personally. And that is where we are at in our time. Whenever somebody says to me anything and you don't want to accept the truth of it, don't you say, prove it to me? We want proof. That's a scientific mind. And then 1 week later, Thomas gets his chance in the upstairs room. Jesus enters and invites Thomas to examine his wounds. We don't hear that he accepts the invitation. We hear instead the boldest statement about Jesus in the Gospel of John. Maybe the entire New Testament. My Lord and my God, says Thomas. That's Thomas. Jesus returns to promise us our resurrection. He comes back to reconcile us with God and to make us instruments for reconciliation in the world. You are the hand and the feet and the mouth of Jesus today. He comes to break the chains of fear that hold him back. And we have different ways of recognizing him. You can meet Jesus in Scripture and perhaps in communion. You can meet him in the love shown to you by other Christians. You can meet him by inadvertent words and deeds. I'm always amazed how God uses people's actions and words in ways that were not even intended, and they come out very well. I'll just give you one example. A colleague of mine has told a story. And she said, you know, she had met this person that she hadn't seen since high school. And this person grabbed her and said, listen, I always wanted to thank you and I never got the chance. I said, okay, thank me for what? You saved my life. I did what? I would remember if I saved somebody's life, she thinks. She has no idea what this woman is talking about. Yes, I was so devastated about something that happened when she was in high school. And she was seriously considering suicide. And she was standing there in the school hallway where the water fountain was and was, you know, thinking about how best she could kill herself. And then she said, and you came, walked up behind me, and you stood with me for a bit, and then you said, honey, you have to move on. And then my colleague said, you know, I probably meant don't stand in the way of the water fountain. I want to have a drink too. But for the person to whom those words were said at that moment was, you move on over your great disappointments. And for her, it changed her perception of living. And it was the end of her contemplation of suicide. So here was a truly life-changing event in the life of one person. Just was inadvertently caused by somebody who had no such things in mind. Okay? And sometimes we can do the right thing without even knowing it. We can say the right thing without being aware of it. So, whatever you do, wherever you go, do it with kindness. Speak kindly to people. You don't know the repercussions your words and actions can have, for good or for bad. And the question is now for us, as it was for Thomas then, do we welcome him? Do we accept him? And will we trust him? Jesus may come to you when you least expect it, as the angel came to Joseph in a dream. You don't expect God to speak to you when you're sleeping. Maybe you should sleep in church sometimes. Jesus often startles us, as he did those disciples in the upstairs room, and 1 week later, Thomas. He may come to you where you least expect him, even the secrets of your deep own soul. So, in this Easter season, by the way, the Easter time goes from Easter day all the way to Pentecost, 50 days of Easter, okay? In this Easter season, let us remember that Jesus came to set us free from any bondage that holds you, from your fear. We can extend to him the chains of fear that hold us, and he will break them by the power of his resurrection. Now go and live in that resurrection. Amen.
Dark night that you were betrayed, you broke the bread in pieces, you poured the wine, knowing your life would soon be poured out to heal us. What love is this, Emmanuel?
May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the very face of God shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God's presence embrace you and give you peace. Amen.
And if you would please rise for our closing song.
I am the resurrection and the life. You who believe in me will never die. I am the resurrection and the life. You who believe in me will live a new life. I have come to bring you truth. I have come and the life, you who